Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Galaxy Gaming first quarter earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Robert Saucier. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. Sorry we're a few minutes late. We actually did that intentionally because last call, we had a number of people that indicated that they were still in queue and missed the first part of the call. I want to thank all of you for your patience. Before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that we will be making forward-looking statements. Those are protected under the Federal Securities Safe Harbor Act, and those statements may or may not come true. I'd like to start off by doing a little analogy for those of you sports fans. Some of you may be aware that in professional football, I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. And last year, when the Seahawks went into the playoffs, they played the Washington Redskins in the wild card game, and in the first quarter, they were down 14-0. Eventually, the Seahawks rallied and came back to a 24-14 victory in beating the Redskins. Then the Seahawks went on the road again to Atlanta, and they played the Atlanta Falcons. And again, in the first quarter, they were down 10-0. They managed to extend that loss to 20-0 at halftime, but then the Seahawks came back in the second half and rallied, but still fell short and lost the game 28-30 to the Falcons. I bring that up because last year we started out the first quarter with a loss. And even though the loss wasn't horrendous and much of it was due to stock-based compensation that we awarded to our employees, we still started out in the red beginning of the year. We had three quarters to make that up, and eventually we did, and we ended up with a good, strong 2012. We're pleased to announce that going into 2013, we're not in the red. We're starting off with a profit, which puts us ahead of last year. And in fact, just briefly, if you compare where we are this year compared to last year, we're starting out 2013 with roughly $250,000 of additional revenue for the quarter, $250,000 of additional EBITDA. And just over $250,000, about $275,000 of change in net profit from where we were a year ago. So, you know, it's with that we are very optimistic about 2013. I'm going to turn the call over to Gary, our CFO, who will go through the numbers, and we will go ahead and talk a little bit about what some of our growth initiatives are for 2013, and then we'll take Q&A. This is intended to be a fairly short call today because we don't have a whole lot of news from the last annual call that we did just a short while ago. So, Gary.
Thanks, Rob. Good afternoon to everyone on the call. I'd like to start by reviewing our results for the first quarter 2013. And I'm proud to say that this represents the best first quarter in our company's history. Revenues for the first 3 months ended March 31st were approximately $1.9 million, which is an increase of $250,000 or 15% over first quarter 2012. This increase was primarily due to our increased sales of 21+3 and other products worldwide. A large part of this growth was also due to the expanded relationship we have with Caesars Entertainment. We saw a significant improvement in EBITDAs of approximately $812,000 as well, which is an improvement of 47% or $260,000 over last year. Obviously, our top-line revenues had a direct impact on our EBITDAs. Our SG&A expenses have also decreased compared to Q1, which has also improved the EBITDAs metric. As we stated on our last call, we as a company achieved profitability on a GAAP basis in 2012, and I'm happy to say that we continue that profitability into Q1 with a profit of over $100,000 for the first 3 months. Since we just had our year-end call not too long ago, I'd like to discuss our results compared to the fourth quarter 2012. Our revenue did decline slightly, less than 1%. This is due to several reasons. Foremost, we have some fluctuation in foreign currency translation due to the amount of business we have in the United Kingdom. I'll break this down a little further on my next slide. The second reason is that we discontinued operating in a foreign jurisdiction because the related expense was just too high. We still experienced new placements of tables and growth of our table counts in Q1. Had these two events not occurred and everything else remained status quo, I calculate we would have had new revenue of approximately $100,000 or 5%. However, these events are behind us and we will continue to write new orders and expect this to be a small blip on our overall trend. EBITDA saw a slight improvement to $812,000, and this was primarily due to SG&A expenses as well. Our net income did see a drop for two reasons. Foremost, in the fourth quarter, we recognized a non-cash tax benefit of approximately $340,000. That is related to the fact we released a valuation allowance on our deferred tax assets. Second, we had an increase, contractual increase, in the payments on our PTG notes payable, which resulted in a higher interest expense. I'd like to provide some more color on our revenues in the United Kingdom. And as a result of the PTG acquisition made in 2011, we became the number one table game company in the UK. This chart here shows our UK revenues in British sterling, which is represented by the blue line. The green line shows the revenues as translated and recognized in US dollars. You will see in italics below the US dollar amount, I've included the foreign exchange rate that the revenues were recognized at. While we expect some fluctuation, we did see an unfavorable exchange rate in Q1. At the right of the chart, you'll see that our UK revenues were slightly lower in Q1, but the translation rate saw a greater disproportionate decrease as well. Our revenues remained strong in the UK, despite a slight decline between Q4 and Q1. I'd like to point out that our UK market is the only market where we bill based on activity. That means our clients only pay for each day that the tables are open. So our UK revenues inherently will see more variability than our revenues around the rest of the world. Now let's look at our performance metrics. When comparing Q1 2013 to the same period 2012, we have seen an overall increase in most areas. Our average quarterly revenue has increased in just about each one of these areas. Our premium games did see a slight decline in average quarterly revenue despite having an increase in units and service. And it's important to note that this inverse relationship is due to several reasons. Foremost, we had units come online late in the quarter that were either new placements or trial placements. Also included in this number is about 60 tables in the UK, which were new openings, but brought the average down because they were not open full time. Overall, we have managed to increase our total average quarterly revenue per table, and we expect this to increase. Looking at the comparison to the prior quarter, you'll see our total table count increased to over 3,500. However, there was a decrease in the average revenue per table, which primarily attributed to a decrease in the average premium game revenue for the reasons I previously stated. However, our average side bet revenue will continue to grow because of higher average quarterly revenue we command on our 21+3 product. We're very excited at the averages for our enhanced table systems, and I want to direct your attention to our BJS and MegaShare averages. BGS table counts are growing along with the revenues associated with those tables. MegaShare saw a significant increase in revenue as well since tables came online in late Q4. The majority of our table revenues of our enhanced table system revenues are related to Emperor's Challenge, which is our PyGal product. We're seeing the participation rates in the BGS and MegaShare bets in excess of 80%. Therefore, we're getting a transaction fee every time a bet is placed and those LEDs light up. Last, our e-tables have seen a slight uptick as well due to increased activity. Before I pass the call off to Rob, I just want to reinforce that our financial position remains strong and our prospects for growth in 2013 and beyond are very good. We have a number of products in the pipeline that are being developed, and High Card Flush was released for commercialization in April, and we expect to start contributing to revenues in Q2 and beyond. I will now hand the call over to Rob.
Well, thanks, Gary. So I want to get a little bit into what Gary mentioned about our growth initiative. Some of this is items that was discussed on the last call, but perhaps can give a few updates. The first thing is that we announced in the first quarter was that domestically there were two new jurisdictions that we were approved in, and we've begun doing the installation in those jurisdictions. I think a scant amount of that revenue is going to show up in the second quarter, but we should start to see the impact from these jurisdictions in the third quarter. So we mentioned Louisiana and Maryland. There's also a mystery state in the Midwest, and it will remain a mystery. But I was fortunate that I had meetings with both the regulators and a couple of our key potential clients in that jurisdiction. And so we may have something to announce on that before the next call. Another area that is becoming extremely promising to us is the whole eastern seaboard. We're finding that in many of these states that you see here, there's been a tremendous explosion of growth in terms of casinos and in terms of table games. There are very large casinos being installed. Table games are becoming a very prominent part of that. That goes back to when New Jersey first opened. New Jersey, as some of you know, the history of gaming was the second legal jurisdiction in the United States. And New Jersey, Atlantic City in particular, has always been very, very strong in terms of table games. When Pennsylvania opened up, they opened up allowing slots only. And the operators there lobbied to get table games in Pennsylvania, and it really had two effects. Number one, the revenue soared for those casinos in Pennsylvania because now they could look more like a full-service casino. But then also what happened is, unfortunately for Atlantic City, it pulled a lot of the business away from Atlantic City. And now Atlantic City is going through a lot of its own initiatives to try to get that business back. Neighboring Pennsylvania is West Virginia, and they too have been expanding, and I understand there's a new casino opening up there fairly soon. Maryland is a great story. Maryland Live has been a huge casino there, but there are a number of other casinos that are opening up, of which we're going to be a part of. Massachusetts is, I think Springfield has been awarded to MGM, but there's still some other awards, and I know that Wynn Corporation as well as some other companies are competing for Boston, so we plan on being a part of that as it opens up. North Carolina, this is a case where there was a tribal casino as part of the Harris Cherokee, and they were not allowed to have table games. The tribe actually lobbied to have table games and agreed to pay a form of taxation to just be able to have those table games. And so that's great news. Florida, the Seminoles are really expanding there. We don't have a presence in Florida yet, but certainly have a lot of interest, so we intend on getting heavy in there. We just heard from Rhode Island, and we have some other business from Maine. So that whole eastern seaboard has become a big market, and accordingly, our company is now committed to having some solid East Coast representation. We currently serve the East Coast from Las Vegas, but here within the next quarter or so, our plans are to have boots on the ground on the East Coast and really go after that market. That's a very, very promising market for us in the United States. Overseas, we continue to do well in the United Kingdom. As many of you know, we're the largest table game company in the United Kingdom. We have a product in all 145 casinos there. And we have new products that we are introducing. I plan on going over to the United Kingdom in the next month or so and meeting with some of our top clients about expanding our footprint into their casinos. So we see that as a very positive growth area. Europe is increasing, but it is a trickle. So we don't expect a lot of revenue out of Europe, but we are getting in more and more countries over there. We have a representative over in France, and he's been getting us, you know, some business little by little, but it is growing. And then Ireland, I've been getting updates on Ireland because Ireland is a promising new market. There are a number of establishments there, I think just short of 30 establishments that offer gaming, but we consider it a gray market, and so we tend not to go into something that is not solidified. But Ireland is going through a regulatory reform, and we see those as being fully legal casinos no later than next year. So we see Ireland as another area for us to expand. As far as some of our products,
We talked before about some of our growth initiatives. One is our electronic products, the bonus jackpot system, MegaShare and Share of the Wealth. We had indicated on a previous call that we intend to announce sometime this summer a jackpot promotion program where we've pulled together multiple casinos to share a common jackpot. We expect to have that announcement later, as I indicated. We've also been developing some new games. Emperor's Challenge, which has been a great game for us over the decade, we've had an upgrade to that. We plan on releasing that soon. We think that's going to be bringing new life into our PyGal poker market. We also have an exciting new Texas Hold'em game that's going to have a unique branding that we will announce fairly soon, probably in the next month or so when that game is ready to release. We're just putting the finishing touches on that game and expect to announce it fairly soon and have it begin its beta testing period. And then, as Gary alluded to before, High Card Flush, that's been our real story and really a very, very pleasant surprise for the first quarter. As we had indicated before, we selected 10 casinos to put in High Card Flush into an incubation period. And after being in those 10 casinos, we did a number of promotions. We really had a tremendous response to High Card Flush. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that in this industry before, where a game has taken off so quickly by the players, how they've really adapted it. One of the local casinos here, the M Casino, which is owned by Penn National Gaming, and the folks from Penn were in our offices yesterday. They're very excited about this game. It performed extremely well at the M, which is not a big casino, but they've already committed to putting a second table in. M also just recently took our Emperor's Challenge game and upgraded them to our BGS system with Progressive. So M is a very good supporter of Galaxy Gaming, has a lot of our products. So any of you that are in Las Vegas, please stop by the M because you'll see lots of Galaxy products that are very warmly received by their patrons on the floor there. But that's done very well, and we have a nice backlog of orders for High Card Flush. We should start seeing those revenues. Some of those revenues will trickle in into the second quarter, but should really start showing up on the radar screen in the third quarter of this year. Next, I want to turn it back over to Gary because I want Gary and I share our investor visibility campaign, and we continue to do that. Gary and I have been at the Money Show, which is a show that's here in Las Vegas. Been here the last 3 days. The last day was today, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But just wanted to give everybody an update on where we are with our investor visibility campaign. Go ahead, Gary.
All right, thanks, Rob. Well, we have a few initiatives going on. Internally, we are working on an upgraded web presence, which will not only include an updated corporate website that will appeal to potential clients, investors, and players, but also we're going to roll out a new branding as it relates to our games. With that branding, we're going to have a separate website where you can actually play our games for free on the internet. That way we'll have a 24-hour salesman, so to speak, on the web that could get players excited about our games, and they could play it at times when they're not in the casino. Additionally, I want to remind everyone that we have the Galaxy Gaming mobile app. You could search that on an iPhone or iPad by searching Galaxy Gaming, or an Android, that's Galaxy Gaming Finance. We put a lot of work and effort into keeping this updated, so as items come out on the wire, such as press releases or SEC documents, those automatically get pushed to your phone. We're also working on producing a number of videos for how to play our games, strategic videos, as well as training videos for our clients. Some of those videos will be available not only on our website, but through this app and social media. So we're pretty excited to start to roll out some of these items to really help get the Galaxy Gaming name out there, as well as our product names. Also, as Rob had said, we're expanding our presence at selected investor conferences. You may have seen the press release we did last week announcing we're going to exhibit at the Money Show. If you're not familiar with the Money Show, it's a national investor conference for high-end retail investors. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty personally excited because I've probably talked to several hundred retail investors, and to see their eyes light up when they hear our story and they get our business model and they connect the fact that they're seeing gaming growing in their backyards really got me excited. It got investors excited. We had some people say that they went back and bought the stock just the other day, or some people said that they were going to go and watch the stock and get into it. So we really generated a lot of excitement at this show. We had a high card flush table along with a professional dealer, so our booth was actually the most popular booth at the Money Show, and those are the exact words from some of the organizers. So we're very proud to really generate some excitement at the conference. But I'm personally charged because every time I tell this story to investors, it gets me excited because we just know the prospects for our future are pretty strong.
And let me just add to Gary's comments regarding the Money Show. Our company attended the Money Show, I think it was about 3 years ago. And I recall that after we attended the Money Show, we took a list of the people who had left us either their business cards or other information with their email information. And then what we did is we went out and got a NOBO investor list just to compare what our shareholders looked like before and after the Money Show. And we'll talk about solid evidence. We saw a lot of the same names that were people that we met at our booth at the Money Show on our shareholder list. So that convinced us to do it again this year, and this show was completely different than the show that we did previously a few years ago. I think a lot of that is because there's so much more optimism now that people feel that the economy is eventually turning around. I think we all have our own opinion on whether or not that's real or not, but certainly there's an optimism that existed. There was more people to show. They were all very excited. The attendance that we had in our booth had to be triple or quadruple what it was before, and a tremendous amount of excitement. So we're going to do the same thing this year. We have our shareholder list from right before the show, and we're going to be comparing that with our shareholder list in the next couple months to be able to judge this. But I would not be surprised if this thing hasn't given us some real returns, because it has in the past, and the interest that we have has been great. With that, operator, we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Q&A, so we'll go ahead and open it up.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from the line of Joel Akmarowicz, Merriam Capital.
Thank you very much. Guys, good quarter, great way to start the year. Gary, I wanted to, and Rob, I wanted to ask you about MegaShare. That's pretty nice sequential growth there. I mean, we've talked a lot about the network, you know, aspects of this, you know, distributed electronic gaming. That's pretty. Do you see that continuing? I mean, that seems pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think MegaShare is sometimes when you have new concepts, it's a little difficult to get them off the ground. Sometimes there's a lot of trial and error, and you just have to stick with it until it really sticks. I think one of the things that was a setback for us is that one of the nice MegaShare installations we had in Las Vegas was the Hooters Casino, which went into bankrupt and changed hands, and we ended up losing that. So, you know, we've had a couple of setbacks, because normally when you start out a new project like this, you don't want to do it in a high-profile casino. You don't want to go into a Caesar's Palace on the Strip to start out something new. You tend to go into the backwoods a little bit, and you tend to experiment. We had a similar thing happen to us with a small Indian casino, where there was a change of management control, and MegaShare got pulled out. So there was a little bit of starts and stops, but along the way what happens is you get to prove the concept, and the more that you prove the concept, the more you get people interested, and eventually it should snowball. It's a very solid concept. The returns are very good for the casino, so we see that continuing.
I mean, it must be exciting when some of these patrons, hit a deal where they get extra payoff because of the, you know, the social aspect. Do you have any like vignettes to that, or you know, like things that you could put on your website or whatever?
Yeah, that's part of our marketing package that we're rolling out with these with the casinos. So to the extent that they allow and can take pictures, you know, we would love to obtain those and really post those on social media. But some places just like to respect the discretion of their players and whatnot. So we may not always get that from some operators.
Okay. Gary, can I ask a question about the debt? You paid down long-term debt instead of the short-term note. Any particular reason for that?
Yeah, if you see the decrease, part of that is because that change in foreign currency. So that's why you'll see the other comprehensive loss change to income, because while it was unfavorable for revenue, it was favorable for the debt.
Ah, very interesting. That was a foreign exchange issue. Okay, very good. And then I wanted to ask you on the mobile initiatives. I mean, is that just the you kind of alluded to, you know, the opportunity to kind of access company information? Is it possible that in the future people would be able to play your games, or at least try them out on a mobile device? You know, on some type of mobile application.
Absolutely, that's the plan. In fact, as we're designing it, we're going to design it for the web first, but as we're designing it, we're making sure that it's easily transferable to mobile platforms.
That'd be great, great. And then just generally overall, I always like to ask you, Rob, about the state of the industry, you know, domestically mainly, but what's your general tenor? Are you continuing to see improvement in the industry overall?
Well, certainly yes. I mean, Las Vegas itself still has a long way to go to come back. You know, the visitors are here, but the spending isn't at pre-recession levels. But Las Vegas is not necessarily the barometer of what's happening worldwide. I mean, some of the expansion that we're seeing in markets outside, I mentioned the Eastern Seaboard, but what we're seeing offshore, I was just up last week. I was up in Montreal attending a conference, and it was a group that people from all over the world. And, boy, there's just expansion happening everywhere. And so, you know, our company is truly a global company, and we're going to look for those pockets. But it's expanding quite a bit. The one that's the unknown is Internet gaming. And a lot of focus was spent last week on discussions regarding Internet gaming. We do participate in Internet gaming. Our games can be found on websites. And this is the first year that we will start collecting more royalties on Internet gaming. We collected a scant amount of royalties last year from inheriting a deal that Prime Cable Games had with an IGT subsidiary. But that's becoming a bigger part. And you'll start to see revenues on Internet gaming. And I think once they become a larger number, Gary will probably break those out from miscellaneous income to where it will be a separate line item so you can identify our revenues from Internet gaming.
Great. That's all I have. Good luck going forward, guys.
Our next question is from the line of Mark Robbins, Catalyst Research.
Hey, thank you. Very nice quarter. Let's quantify a little better some of the opportunity that the Eastern Seaboard provides. There are a lot of states, and you certainly have presence in two of them now. Is it half of Las Vegas as my concern Galaxy, or is it two times what Las Vegas is? How can we get a feel for either portions or the whole Eastern Seaboard as it may affect the potential that Galaxy is facing?
Well, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and introduce to the call our sales manager, Dean Barnett. And Dean is very familiar with the East Coast. He's really the one that has lobbied our leadership team that we need to do more on the East Coast. So, Dean, would you...
And by the way, I want to mention that I'm not a shill for this question. That sounded awfully set up there, Rob.
Well,
Well, you know, it's I know you threw Dean an underhanded softball, but unfortunately Dean is not a former baseball player, but he is a former Denver Bronco, so I don't think he's ever caught a baseball or hit a baseball in his life. But
okay.
Go ahead, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
You're welcome. Good afternoon. Eastern Seaboard, as Rob indicated, is has not yet been served the way we need to be as a public company moving forward. And as Rob indicated, the opportunity there is really quite outstanding. And even in the jurisdictions where we currently have business and we have some products approved, we have a lot of products that we need to get submitted and approved, because there's just a tremendous level of interest, really up and down the seaboard. Even in New Jersey, where we have a presence and have had a presence for some time, those clients there have been using existing products that have been successful, but are looking forward to installing games that we have been rolling out in other jurisdictions and don't yet have approved. So part of the process is not only to get boots on the ground, as Rob indicated, but to make a very aggressive effort in getting some of these new products approved in existing jurisdictions. So while there is new jurisdictions opening and those opportunities we will chase down vigorously, we can also compound our efforts there or increase our efforts getting additional floor space, new games that are being successful in Las Vegas.
Dean, Dean was just at one of our clients, Sands, in
Pennsylvania,
right?
Yeah.
Why don't you describe? He just got back from their opening. Could you describe? This is just one property in Pennsylvania, but Dean can give you a sense of you know the type of size of the casino and the action that they have.
Well, this is really a remarkable casino, as many of you know. There's some very large, just beautiful and successful properties in Connecticut. Certainly Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun come to mind. But the Sands property in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, is strategically located geographically to be really in a perfect location. They have a bus service that comes in from New York that brings just a tremendous amount of players who wager a great deal of money, and their casino floor, you walk in there about 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, which I did, it looked like a very busy day shift in many other properties around the country. But by 10 o'clock, virtually every table was open, and by noon, every table was at capacity. This is on a Monday and a Tuesday. Just a tremendous amount of money being wagered on every game possible. Certainly baccarat is huge there. Great action there. But we did an installation there while I was there. It went live Wednesday, and we have high hopes that will spread throughout the floor here in the very near future. But that would be one great example of just a lot.
Dean, I know this is unfair, but kind of give me a feel as to what this could roll out to be. We know that the UK did a certain level of sales the last quarter and the last year. Could the Eastern Seaboard be the equivalent of the UK or three UKs? I mean, and I'm not going to hold you to it. I'm not going to call you up if you surpass it or what have you. But I just kind of like a ballpark.
Well, then, if you're not going to hold me to it, then I would say yes. You know, as you probably know, the UK is, we have a great presence there as the number one provider. But most of those properties, even though there are many of them, don't have a great deal of table games, per property. Whereas some of these that are opening here in the U.S., in the region we're discussing, they're opening with a lot of table games, and with the population base that the East Coast has, they're doing quite well. So I would say would be it's a huge opportunity for us, one that we've addressed to a certain degree, but one I would like us to aggressively go after moving forward.
And to answer your question, you know, it's very hard for us to quantify it, but I would say that it's starting to shape up that the type of demand that we see on the East Coast, just because of the population base and because more and more casinos are being located near the population base, that clearly the East Coast has an opportunity to surpass the West Coast, and that's California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, I mean the whole western side. Nevada's the big one in all of that. California is obviously becoming its own, you know, on its own, fairly significant. But the East Coast is, I think, could end up just dwarfing this. Not just in terms of the number of casinos, the number of tables, but clearly the amount of the action that people are wagering. It's a different market out there.
That's great. That's great to hear. Let's go to the Table Max. Any kind of change there? Is the E out? Should we kind of see a little bit of warming up in that regard in the remainder of this year, or should we just kind of still backburner it?
Well, I will tell you that it is in field trial. Okay, it has come out of the labs. It is in field trial. So far, the word that we're hearing is it's performing functionally as it's supposed to. But you know, until we really get our arms around it and know what our manufacturing capability is and really see the numbers, it's something we tend not to forecast or something that we tend to do. We do have letter intents from a number of casinos in three different states. So there is an opportunity there. I mean, the backlog is there. But we don't really want to speculate on what it's going to do until it's given us some real numbers. I mean, the
Fair
numbers
enough.
Of the previous product was fine. It's just that the performance of the previous product was not up to standards. And so that was the hope of the Model E, and so far it seems to be holding up.
And I'm going to ask one more question, and it's you'll be able to tell that this is naivete beyond, you know, imagination. But here you are getting your games both on computers and eventually mobile capability, and being able to receive payment on wagers is way down the road. That's a jurisdictional kind of thing, I understand. But and forgive me, Rob and Gary, I know that you're going to roll your eyes at this, but I think I understand that this, what is it, Crazy Birds or Angry Birds or something like that derives a tremendous amount of revenue through the use or playing of that game. Is there a way that you could modify, say, High Card Flush or 21 plus 3 so that you could play it on your phone and for Galaxy get a payment for that somehow?
Yeah, that's actually a good question, Mark. That's something that we're considering. So, you know, when we're looking at moving to mobile applications, there's really two ways you can look at this. Is one, you develop the mobile application in hopes that it creates a lot of interest so people go to casinos and play the game and keep the numbers high, or they ask casinos to bring the game to them. Or two, you try and do that and make money off the app. Obviously, we'd like to do both, and we're evaluating the strategies to do that. What I suspect is we'll probably launch the applications for free to begin with, and we may offer what you call in-app purchases. So if someone likes to play High Card Flush, they could play it, but then maybe they only get $100 in chips, and if they run out of chips, they might have to buy more. Otherwise, they have to wait a day or two. And so that's one of the trends in mobile app computing right now is what you call in-app purchases. I think the one you're referring to is called Angry Birds, where you just buy it for 99 cents and you get to play it unlimited. But there's a lot of apps out there. It's free, and if you want to do certain things, you actually have to continue to buy within the app itself. But, you know, those are definitely strategies. We don't count on that being a significant amount of revenue because obviously our core competency is around the actual casino games, but it is definitely a very viable option for us.
Yeah, but and I don't mean, I'm not trying to challenge you on that, but I was watching people play that 21+3, you know, even a little while ago, and they were driven to play that game, and you know, it just seems to me like that's an opportunity of being, if you can figure out how to get around the laws or make the laws work for you or what have you, just seems to me like there's a great opportunity to pick up dollars lying around. Thanks so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thanks, Mark.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from the line of Bruce Rutland, private investor.
Good afternoon, Rob and Gary, Dean.
Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
Hey, Rob, let me go back on units to be sure that I'm clear on this. When you're talking about units in the BJS system, that BJS system, that is on a per-table basis, right? One bonus jackpot system on one table.
Yeah, it's a little unusual in the gaming business, but we record things based on number of tables, not based on number of seats. So a table could have 4 seats, it could have 7 seats. The slot business is they do it based upon the number of actual slots, the number of actual seats. When you get into things such as our TableMax product line, where you have an automated table, because it is looked at more of a slot machine than it is a table game by the operators, then the industry has gone over on the hybrid tables, in our case the e-tables, it goes by the number of seats. But you're absolutely correct, the bonus jackpot system, we still record it as the number of tables. We've had discussions internally about changing that over and trying to see on all of our products what the number of seats would be. But it's just so difficult because, just changing a layout on a table could change the number of seats, and we would have no knowledge of it. So it's very difficult for us to try to track that at this time.
Yeah, Rob, my thinking real quick was that I was thinking of two Emperor's Challenge tables, okay, in one casino, say the M Resort, and that would be one or two jackpot systems. In other words, I know you could hook both of those together internally in one casino, and I was just wondering how you counted those units. If you have two tables confined as one jackpot, two tables, instead of you're just saying when you say one bonus jackpot system, or we're showing here online that is on a per-table basis. Is that clear? I'm just wondering if you got two tables hooked up to one software bonus jackpot system. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, in that example, it would be two. So, for example, we mentioned that the M just converted over to 4 Emperor's Challenge tables with a bonus jackpot system. It's all connected into one system and one jackpot, but we record the 4 tables as 4 separate units.
Okay, on our metric tier.
Yes.
Okay, correct. And, Rob, let me ask this. About a year ago, we did the discount, or y'all did the discount on the Caesars deal with 21+3 with 250-odd some tables. That discount, I think, if I remember correctly, was supposed to go a year. Has that discount been lifted, and are we now in the first quarter where we're getting full potential revenue from that?
We have not lifted the discount. But to Caesars' credit, they've extended their order quite a bit, so we've been getting more revenue from Caesars. But as far as the price per unit, we've maintained that from before, but they've increased significantly the amount of tables. Dean, how many casinos total does Caesars have? Do you recall, is it 38 or?
I think domestically in the United States there's 29 and up to, I believe, 42 worldwide.
42 worldwide. So we still have a lot of casinos to go into. And, we've met with them as recently as last night. So we anticipate a lot more business. So we agreed to hold the line on the pricing, and they agreed to keep adding more casinos. So we're pleased with that at this point.
Okay. Gary, real quick for you, I noticed that we pay taxes in the first quarter. Just because I don't quite understand it, I was just wondering about the NOLs going forward, why we didn't use that in the first quarter, a tax benefit on that since we were profitable with, I think, I can't see it now, but I think $153,000.
Right. So let me just clarify. We have not paid any cash for taxes. Without giving a boring accounting lesson, what happened was we had the in Q4, we recognized the benefits of those NOLs and other tax attributes, which resulted in a deferred tax asset. What you see for the provision is us expensing off that asset, basically recognizing the fact that we can utilize NOLs against our taxable income. So that's a non-cash tax expense strictly under GAAP rules.
Okay, so there was no cash taxes paid even though it's showing on the statement.
That is not a cash expense. You'll see on the cash flow statement, in fact, it says cash paid for income taxes is zero. That's at the bottom of the statement. This is strictly a non-cash. It's GAAP's way of recognizing income tax benefits. So, we booked the benefit, the tax benefit of those NOLs as an asset. And as we utilize those NOLs, GAAP rules require us to recognize a non-cash expense. So we continue to monitor that. That's really, now that we're profitable and the company is in a different position than it was this time last year, we have to be very proactive in our tax planning. So we anticipate using up those NOLs as we remain profitable, but we have to seek out tax-efficient expenses to make sure that we minimize the amount of tax that we pay.
Okay. And yeah, I noticed we lost, on the cash statement, speaking of that, like the $107,000 we used in the cash burn. And you sort of mentioned or went by something about pulling out of an area or a foreign market or something, and that may have reduced the overall revenue at the top. Is there, I guess I'm asking, is there anything that we lost during the Q4 and Q1? Because, of course, Q4 was a little bit higher. Rob, is there anywhere that we lost or may have lost anything?
When you say lost, you're talking about in terms of cash? Did we write off any cash?
No, Rob. Lost as far as gains or have gains displaced anywhere or anything since the revenue was down, and we had. I was just associating that we did burn $107,000 in cash, and I was just wondering what if we had dropped anywhere any contracts or had any gains displaced.
Yeah, well, let me address it. It's actually two separate issues. The $107,000 in cash burn was primarily because we had an increase in inventory. We had an increase in inventory of 98,000, so that was really a big part of it. We're loading up our BGS equipment, and so we spent more cash in the quarter, even though we had cash from operations of 480,000. So yes, we did have a little bit higher cash burn, but it's really we had some CapEx in anticipation of BGS orders.
Okay. So that was the main reason for that.
Yeah, primarily.
Okay. Rob, let me say this, and I'll get back in the queue. I think this was your first year at the Southern Gaming Summit. Is that correct?
No, we've been, well, as you know, we've been to Southern Gaming Summit before because you and I met there. So, we've been to Southern Gaming Summit for many years. Then we stopped the last couple of years, but we decided to go back this year primarily because of our expansion in Louisiana. As you know from attending, it seems like half the people that are at the Southern Gaming Summit are from Louisiana. So that was big news for us, and that's why the Southern Gaming Summit could really pay returns for us this year.
I was really speaking of, is this your first year to have a booth, Rob, before I'd seen you? And I want to make a statement about that, which is all positive.
No, we've had booths really every year except, the last 2 years? I think every year for the last 10 years, except maybe the last 2 years, we've had a booth. And so we returned this year with a booth.
Okay, let me say this real quick. Was there Metro 2 salespeople? Was it extremely positive, extremely nice and cordial? They were showing the high card flush. I personally monitored that game now. As you already know, it's in beta testing here. Cannot say enough about what I've seen, not only from the players, but from the what I think, Rob, we often miss is the dealers, even though I know you've got to sell the game and deal with table directors. But the enthusiasm from the dealers showing the game to the players and the sincerity they have from what I've seen it's been outstanding. So I want investors to know that. And it just looks extremely promising from those that I've known also in the industry down here.
Well, it's very kind, Bruce. Thank you.
And thank you so much.
Those accolades to our people.
It's been absolutely great. I look forward to many more installations. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no other questions.
Well, very good. Then I'll go ahead and make final comments. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the call. You know, one of the things I got to tell you is that it was funny listening to the call talking about taxes and you know, that we're running out of NOLs, and, you know, part of the fault is because we're profitable, and I'm sitting here thinking, geez, maybe we should have a discussion how we could go back to having losses again. But I got to tell you, it's really fun. It really is fun running a profitable company. And what it does, it has changed our mindset from how do we survive to how do we grow to now the next set of discussions we're going to have is how do we explode. And we have some things on the drawing boards that we'll discuss with everyone in the future when we're ready, when all those things have materialized. But we have some pretty exciting things coming up. And just having the ability of being able to use your own cash flow to reinvest in the business, it's been phenomenal for us. One of the big things that we have coming up that we've talked about before is we are actively searching for new facilities in Las Vegas. We've clearly outgrown the facilities we're in. We've been working with realtors, and we've been looking at buildings. And so that's a process because we have to locate it. We have to acquire it. We have to design the tenant improvements. We have to work with contractors and get building permits. So it's going to be a little bit of a process, but hopefully within the next 6 months or so, we'll have been able to relocate in some new facilities. Until then, again, I want to thank everyone. We all really appreciate your support in Galaxy Gaming, and now we'll all get back to work. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.